Let's open our Bibles and have something for you that may be of particular interest to you personally, or you may be able to now use to help somebody else who's freaking out about the future. Turning your Bibles to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, look with me in verses 18 and 19. And keep your Bibles open because we will look at just a couple of passages tonight. Psalm 33, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him." If you fear God tonight, you have the pleasure of knowing God's got his eye on you. "The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." You know, these days you hear more and more about people being encouraged to stock up on food and other necessities in advance of the anticipated crash. Some of you are nodding. You may know somebody like that. You may be doing that. You may have heard conversation from somebody about, "Oh, you better get an account with Mountain House or Home or whatever it's called and get you some 25-year free dry food because you're going to be eating that here pretty soon." It's not uncommon in a presidential election year for people to begin to fear the worst if the incumbent is not reelected. If the incumbent's not reelected, there's going to be an overthrow to keep the new guy out, or the new guy's going to destroy the country, or, you know, you've heard it. What's interesting to me is where I've been reading in my Bible and what conversations I have heard recently. There seems to be a dovetail on the topic we're going to talk about tonight. I've heard three fear-driven prognostications this month already. Do you know what a prognostication is? A prognostication is, the way I see it in the future, it's going to be this, in which case is bad. You know, but when I read the Bible, I don't sense the fear that I hear others talking about in conversation. In the Bible, there is peace, there's understanding, there is prophecy, but there's not a fear, an anxiety, a threat of something bad happening in the future. What I find when I read the Bible is verses like what we read just here in Psalm 33, verses 18 and 19. Verses of scripture that encourage me rather than discourage me. So we're going to look at a few of these tonight, and what we're going to do is we're going to figure out what to do about this word that you may have heard before. Prepping. You ever heard that word before? Prepping. That's not a word that we use for something like a colonoscopy. I'm talking about prepping for coming disaster. I'm talking about bullets and guns and gold and food. That kind of thing. Idaho, 10 acres in northern Idaho, okay? Talking about that kind of thing. Instead of prepping, the best way to prepare for an uncertain future is to follow what you read in the book. Number one, if you're concerned about the future and what you should be doing right now in the event that there is a shortage of food, a shortage of necessities, shortage of fuel, shortage of money, shortage of sanity... Number one, fear God and hope in his mercy. That's what the book says. Read the text to you again. The Bible says in Psalm 33:18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death." You know, he's already done that for us. We're saved. You have eternal life to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. You know, if in fact there will be a shortage of food or other necessities in the future, the first thing The first thing you should do to prepare is to fear God and hope in His mercy. Because He said, I'm going to keep you alive in famine if you fear me and hope in my mercy. Now, the fear of God and hope are two aspects of your Christian life and of our trust in God, listen, that take time to develop and mature. When you first heard about the fear of the Lord, fear of the Lord's beginning of wisdom, you began the best way you knew how to fear God. But you know something? If you've grown spiritually, and many of you have, your understanding of the fear of God today is much different than it was when you first got started. You truly have grown in the fear of God. And you've also learned that hope is not something that comes quickly, but comes through a process of time. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says this about hope. There are three things that precede it. Tribulation, patience, and experience. And just like we read in the missionary letters, you see people that get squeezed. You see people that go through trial. And when they come out on the other side, now you know what's really in the heart. And what happens is that trying, that squeezing, that suffering, oftentimes, according to 1 Peter 5:10, is exactly what God uses to establish you, to perfect you, to settle you, and to strengthen you. And with that, if you go through it with the tribulation, all right, and the patience and the experience, you come out with hope. You come out with hope. And then the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts and so forth. So hope is something that takes time to develop. And so does the fear of God. When you study in the Bible the fear of God, one of the greatest passages, and you can just write it down because I'm not going to ask you to turn there right now, is Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And many of you read the proverb of the day, so you read it 12 times a year. He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding, cry after knowledge, lift up your voice for understanding, seek her as silver, search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand, fear of the Lord. That takes some doing. All right, so you say, okay, well, I'm concerned about the future. And you may be very wise to be concerned about the future. But here's the deal. Rather than get all, buzzed up about it and get into the news to find out, oh my God, what else can I listen to that'll scare me? And max out your credit card on supplies, you ought to start learning about the fear of God and hope in His mercy. Because He's going to keep His eye on you. And that's going to help you. People sitting on a lot of supplies who don't know how to fear God and don't know how to hope in His mercy are going to fare far worse in a calamity than people who have learned to fear God and hope in Him. You say, why is that so? God has limitless supplies. I don't know if you knew that. He owns what's in heaven. He owns what's in earth. God has limitless supplies to keep you alive in a famine. Your pantry or your larder, they're not even comparable to the size of God's storehouse. When He's got His eye on you and He knows you got a need and you ask Him, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's important. That's important. All right, so that's the first thing. Second thing, look in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and look with me in verses 18 and 19. Psalm 37, verses 18 and 19. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Who are those? Those are the upright. Those are the upright. So, first thing to do is to grow in the fear of God and hope in His mercy. Second thing is to be upright. You know, there are a lot of Christians today who are living on the edge as close as they can to the world. You know that. And you know the temptations that we have in our own hearts. And the emphasis is, don't try to live as close to the world as you can and get away with it. Live as close to God as you can, right? Be sanctified, be upright, because He knows the days of the upright. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. So let's say that you are genuinely concerned about the future. Let's say that what you already know and understand about politics and economy and supply and demand, all that, gives you some legitimate concern for what things might be in the coming future. Okay. You want to be satisfied when that time comes? Then the thing to do principally is to be upright, because the Lord will look out for the upright. You know, in the prior passage, He said, I'll keep them alive in famine. Here He said, in the days of famine, they should be satisfied. Now, I just finished reading a fabulous book, actually, that was written in collaboration with Stephanie's uncle, who was a World War II POW. And he wrote about his experience. He lived through the death march and the death camp. He lived through that. But I wouldn't say that he was satisfied when you read what he had to endure. Here he says, if you're upright in the days of famine, they should be satisfied. You remember, and I know you do, Elijah comes on the scene in Ahab's reign. 1 Kings chapter 17, first thing he does is he prays for the Lord to stop the rain, and the Lord answered his prayer. And that rain was stopped for 3.5 years. You know what happens if you don't get rain for 3.5 years? You get famine. So he caused a famine. But you know something? God directed him over to a brook that still had water until it dried up, and the ravens fed him there. And then he went to Zarephath and met the widow woman and stayed with her until the famine broke. And he constantly had food. He was satisfied. You say, would you be satisfied eating cakes of meal and oil every day for a couple of years? I don't know. I would say this. Probably some people would get weary of it. The Jews got weary of manna after 40 years. But when they consider their own health, they were healthier than if they had had all the other stuff that they were lusting after. I'd say if you're concerned about nutrition rather than appetite, you would be absolutely satisfied, particularly that you know every day you go there, God has just now provided what you need for that day. That'd be very satisfying. So fear God and hope in His mercy, number one. Number two, be upright. And then number three, Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, best way in the world to prepare for an uncertain future. This is spiritual prepping. Spiritual prepping. All right, in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, the Bible says this, there is that scattereth and goeth broke. Wait a minute, I don't think I read that right. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet. He didn't say it's wrong to withhold. He just said it's wrong. He's just advocating against withholding more than is meet. whatever that would be. There is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. So out there in the wilderness, when the Jews tried to gather up more manna than they needed for the day, it bred worms and stank. That it didn't work out. God said, you'll get what you need each day, and on the Sabbath you'll have twice as much going into the Sabbath, so you won't have to go out there and gather that day. Verse 25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You know, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself, would indicate then, when a person is scattering, when a person is liberal, God recognizes that and makes sure that there's an increase back to the person who scattered, and made sure that that soul gets watered when he has need. You know, we're in the perfect position right now. I'm talking about us individually and as a church. We're in the perfect position right now to give liberally and bountifully to the Lord because we have so much. We have so much. You know, when they teach in Kenya or Malawi about tithing or giving to missions, they don't have anything to give. But we, by comparison or contrast, have an abundance. So let's look at a companion passage. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're talking about spiritual prepping tonight. And we're looking at three things. Number one, fear God, hope in His mercy. Number two, be upright. Number three, give liberally. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 6. And read along with me because you'll see exactly what Solomon talked about in Proverbs chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And that's true of farming, for instance, or gardening. If you put two tomato plants, you're going to get how many ever tomatoes two plants can produce. You put out five, you're going to get a lot more. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. So you don't hear me putting pressure on people to give. God doesn't want us to. That's something you purpose in your heart, you and God. But he does say in verse 7 at the end, God loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So he recognizes when there's a person who's giving bountifully, not only does he love that cheerful giver, but he makes all grace abound toward that person, so that person, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Verse 9, as it is written, he that dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, look at this. Verse 10, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister, what are the next four words? Bread for your food. And multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. So it's right there in the text. A person who gives and gives bountifully, the Lord ministers bread for your food. You want a good way to prepare for an uncertain future? Give liberally. In a time like this, that's the time to put it on in the Lord's hands for the Lord's work. Like all this stuff you read about in missions, those souls being saved, taking care of people who are not in a position to take care of those things themselves. The Lord remembers that. He's got his eye on the upright and he says, I remember you taking care of those things. Now it's your turn and I'm going to take care of you. And God is faithful. God is faithful. So the best way to prepare for an uncertain future is, and I've repeated again, to learn to fear God and hope in His mercy, to be upright, and to give liberally. Now, if you still think you need to add some emergency supplies, to these three things, then do so wisely and prudently, not fearfully and anxiously. You see the difference? Now, people that do it now that are doing it out of fear and anxiety is, oh my God, I hurt over here, and this thing can all fall apart, and I got to get all this food. You know, your neighbors are going to know you have that food. I say the first thing to do is get spiritually prepared, and then you can make decisions about temporal preparations with a lot of wisdom and a lot of prudence. God will let you know what you need. You know, so the underlying motive for prepping, whether people who prep will admit it or not, the underlying motive is fear. But once you've made the proper spiritual preparations, you're going to notice one thing for sure. The fear is gone. And I just know this about making any decision in life. When you can make a decision in life and you're not afraid when you're making that decision, you're more likely going to make a really good decision. When you're scared, you're more likely going to make a bad decision. So once the fear is gone, now you can make sensible decisions rather than fear-driven choices. And better yet, you can count on God to take care of you if something bad does happen. And frankly, what I know about God, I got a lot more trust and confidence in Him than I do in my ability. That's for sure. So it may help you personally if this addresses a concern in your own life. It may help you to be able to help somebody else who, in great fear, just doesn't know what's going to happen in the coming months. May I tell you, God knows, and I don't have a clue, but I'm not worried about it. Father, thank you tonight for an opportunity to be able to open your book and see what you have to say about these matters. Help us to be faithful, to learn from you and do as you say, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.